Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Campers, greetings, welcome, salutations, and Monday, can't trust that day, alohas to you. You're just in time for the most heavily commuted, and not coincidentally, most heavily congested hour of the Bobby Mac Show. We are speaking, of course, of the 5 o'clock follies. Great to have you along, and as always, your input is invited, encouraged, and welcomed. Here is how you join me and be a part of the conversation this afternoon. Just grab your phone, use the Ingalls Advantage Talk Line, 800-347-1063. Common Sense Retirement Planning text line number, 71307. And my email address is very simply bob@1063word.com. You see that Hunter Biden has surfaced? Well, sort of. You know, he did that interview with ABC. He also got married. Yeah. Yeah, I know. Again. But, hey, you know. he married a woman that he had known for 6 days. And to celebrate the nuptials, which happened apparently relatively quickly, because a friend of his took the wedding photos on his iPhone. They got matching tattoos that say Shalom. Okay, that's nice. Hunter said that he was totally upfront with his new bride. He explained to her all about abandoning his former wife and kids to play footsie with the widow of his dead brother. And was upfront about his drug use in the past and all the rest. So good luck, Hunter. Hope that works out for you. Meantime, his questionable past and business dealings continue apparently to undermine Daddy's bid for the White House, creepy Uncle Joe the hair sniffer. This is from Fox. Democrat frontrunner Joe Biden has survived a series of poor debates, weathered criticism that he's out of touch and gaffe-prone, to still maintain a lead in a majority of the polls. But it's the tangled tale of his middle child, Hunter, that threatens to scuttle the former VP's third bid for the White House. In Democrat circles, there have been whispers for years that Hunter Biden could become a liability for his dad. Questions about the younger Biden's overseas business dealings in Ukraine and China, as well as his checkered past at home, dating his brother's widow, cocaine use, bought crack, and allegedly spent so much money in strip clubs and on female entertainment that his family couldn't pay their bills, has made him an easy target. President Trump has aggressively gone after chief rival Biden and his family. Some accusations the president has lobbed can be proved. Others cannot. What's true is that Hunter has become a punching bag for the White House. The 49-year-old's controversial decision to accept a high-paying position at a gas company in Ukraine with little experience, how about no experience, has become the backdrop of a whistleblower complaint against Trump. Where is that whistleblower, by the way? Didn't Adam Bullshit say, oh, we're going to parade the whistleblower out there before Congress? Then he backtracks that and says, no, we don't really need to have the whistleblower testify because they only have secondhand information. And we really know what's in the text of the phone call anyway. So the list goes on and on. But one of the reasons I bring this story up is because you can see the left-leaning tilt in even a Fox News story. And I won't subject you to the examples, but take my word for it. The thing is, it prints out to like 5 pages. Is that right? 5 pages? Yeah, 5 pages. And essentially is an apologia to the American public on behalf of Hunter Biden. Well, you know, he's had his problems, but jeez. Ay, ay, ay. So, you know, again, as I have advised, just treat all this stuff, even the stuff, if it's not from one of the opinion commentators on Fox News, if it's from the so-called news department at Fox News, then just treat it essentially as a work of fiction, because that's primarily what it is. Meantime, since we're talking about Fox News and media, a big bet by CBS Evening News on Norah O'Donnell is beginning to look iffy. The former CBS This Morning host. Anybody ever watch CBS This Morning? I don't think so. You know, GMA and Today pretty much divvy up the pie, and CBS picks up the crumbs. Norah O'Donnell, who's getting paid at least $7 million a year by CBS News boss Susan Zirinsky to revive the perennially third-ranked newscast, is getting hammered in the ratings worse than her predecessors. In the last week alone, CBS Evening News with Norah O'Donnell total viewers plunged 17% to 5.1 million. Among viewers in the crucial demo of 25 to 54, the drop was a heart-stopping 25%. The slide has steadily accelerated during the past month, weekly ratings in the key age group falling between 20 and 30% from a year ago, far steeper than the single-digit drops during the year-and-a-half tenure of her predecessor, Jeff Glor, who was pulling down $2 million a year. And it's interesting. CBS Evening News has 5.1 million viewers. The other evening newscasts, ABC's World News Tonight with David Muir, 8.6 million viewers. So that's 13.7 million with the two networks. NBC Nightly News with Lester Holt, total viewers fell 2.6%. They've got just under 8 million. So you got 8 million there. You got ABC with their 8 million. So the total viewership for the three alphabet networks evening newscast is what, 21 million? 21 million people in a nation of, what, 330 million people. My point being, the influence of these leftist so-called news broadcasts that actually is nothing but a propaganda vehicle for the DNC is far outweighed. The level of influence is far outweighed by what they deserve for newscasts that are only watched by 20, 21 million people. But then, of course, there's the web and social media, and that's really the only thing they're keeping the evening newscast on the air at this point. A quarter after 5 here on the Bobby Mack Show. Take a quick break here and then be right back with more. I'll catch up with the text line and, Yes or BS is also back in the next segment of the Bobby Mack Show here on Monday. Be right back.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Yeah, a little Motown sound for the bumper music this afternoon.
Excellent.
Glad you like it. 5:21, 21 after 5 here, the Bobby Mac Show. Oh, by the way, before we leave the topic of Hunter Biden. Oh, and this is good, too. Where is that text message that just came in? Bob, Hunter couldn't tell her all of it in just 6 days. It's pretty good. Bobby, I love Mondays. It means I've survived the weekend. Well, there you go. Bobby, maybe it's just me, but to me it sounds kind of like a white powder-fueled marriage. And what else we have here? Bobby, talking about the slipping viewership of network news. Think about this for a second. Murder, She Wrote, and MASH were averaging 50 million viewers per episode. Yeah. Yeah, those days are gone forever. Back to Hunter and his trials and tribulations. Story today from Breitbart. You know, Hunter Biden didn't just start this stuff with Ukraine and China. These pay-to-play deals. This is not something that happened yesterday. Breitbart reporting, the Obama administration dismissed warnings raised by top State Department official George Kent in 2015 that the Ukrainian company that was employing then-VP Joe Biden's son Hunter at the time was corrupt. The Washington Post confirmed Thursday. Now, you may be asking yourself, why would the WAPO report this story? Well, they want Biden out. They don't want Biden. He's not far enough left for them. The Post reporting suggested the Obama administration allowed Hunter Biden to continue serving on the board of directors of Burisma Holdings, although it knew the company was corrupt. Echoing a report from NBC News earlier this week. Oh, wait a second. A report from NBC News. There we go. The Post noted a career State Department official overseeing Ukraine policy told congressional investigators this week that he had raised concerns in early 2015 about Hunter Biden serving on the board of a Ukrainian energy company, but was rebuffed by a Biden staffer. George Kent, a deputy assistant secretary of state, testified that he worried that Hunter Biden's position at Burisma Holdings would complicate efforts by U.S. diplomats to convey to Ukrainian officials the importance of avoiding conflicts of interest. Yeah, there would kind of be the pot calling the kettle black. Kent said he had concerns that Ukrainian officials would view Hunter Biden as a conduit for currying influence with his father. Well, what else was he there for? His knowledge of the energy field? No. But when Mr. Kent raised the issue with Biden's office, he was told the then vice president didn't have the bandwidth to deal with the issue. In other words, the gravitas, the pull, the influence. To deal with the issue involving his son, as his other son was battling cancer. Yeah, it sounds like something Biden would do, all right. You know, Biden is still going around saying that the accident that killed his first wife and daughter was by a drunk driver. 1972, Joe Biden lost his wife and infant daughter in a horrible accident with a semi. As of 2007, Biden was still alleging that the truck driver was drunk, despite his wife clearly being at fault in the accident. The truck driver's sobriety should have never been in question because Biden's wife was clearly at fault. Newark resident Pamela Hamill wants a public apology from presidential candidate Joe Biden, who she says has repeatedly besmirched her late father, Curtis Dunn. Dunn was the driver of the tractor-trailer involved in the December 1972 accident that took the life of the newly elected U.S. Senator's first wife and 13-month-old daughter. Dunn, died in 1999, but his wife, his daughter, I should say, says she's fed up with Biden publicly mischaracterizing him as having been drunk when the accident occurred. According to Delaware Superior Court Judge O'Herlihy, who oversaw the investigation 36 years ago as chief prosecutor, there is no evidence supporting Biden's claim. The rumor about alcohol being involved by either party, especially the truck driver, Mr. Dunn, is incorrect, the judge said. Police determined that Biden's first wife drove into the path of Dunn's tractor trailer, possibly because her head was turned and she didn't see the oncoming truck. But Biden continues to insist, this truck driver drank his lunch. That's why that happened. Okay, here we go. Time for today's edition of your intro, please.
And now it's time for Yes.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Or BS.
It's just an endless cycle of bullshit.
Yeah, you could say, he did say that. Okay, Halloween right around the corner. Miss Moneypenny, you ready to go for today's Yes or BS?
Yes, I am.
Little Annie in the news center?
Yes.
All righty then.
What was that?
Halloween right around the corner. And can we have some appropriate music? Here we go. Are you familiar with the word gratiarphobia?
Huh.
Gratiarphobia.
Fear of thankfulness?
Irrational fear of Halloween. Okay, here we go. Number one in Yes or BS, and feel free to play along there wherever you may be. In a survey last year, 15% of Americans said they have definitely seen a ghost before. 15% said they have definitely seen a ghost. Do you you believe that to be yes, or do you believe it to be BS, Miss Moneypenny?
BS. I think it's higher.
I think it's higher, too.
Aha. Aha. you know what? Yes.
All right.
Another 17% said they possibly seen a ghost. Okay?
Cool.
Number two, the highest grossing horror film of all time was the first Saw movie.
BS.
BS.
You both are too good for me today.
Yay.
Box Office Mojo says the 2017 remake of It. They float down here. They all float. Number one, $700 million, $327 million in the U.S. alone. The original Saw only made about $100 million for babies. Number three, there are approximately 40,000 different species of spiders in the world.
Yes.
That's terrifying, but yes.
Yeah, and you're right again. I don't like those creepy crawlies either. And about 3,400 of those 40,000 are right here in North America. Number four, according to the American Forest and Paper Association, 180,000 rolls of toilet paper are used for pranks each Halloween. 180,000 rolls. Yes or BS?
Yes.
Yes.
Finally gotcha on one
is
here.
Is it more?
Wrong.
We made that number up.
Whatever.
Yeah, it was a trick question. As far as we can tell, nobody keeps track of how many rolls are used.
You don't know if it's pranks. True or not. That's a trick question.
It was a trick question.
Dinger.
And for which I apologize.
Right.
Question number five. If you have an irrational fear of Halloween, well, I already tipped this one off. Is it called gratiarphobia?
Yes.
Sure. I think that's what you said a while ago.
Well, I lied.
Stinker.
Yeah.
Wrong.
That is a BS. If you have a fear of Thanksgiving, it is Samhainophobia. I'm sorry. If you have an irrational fear of Halloween, it is called gratiarphobia. But if you have a fear of Thanksgiving, an irrational fear of Halloween, called Samhainophobia. Well, that's got me confused now.
It should just be like halophobia or something.
Weenophobia.
Who comes up with these questions anyway?
Bob McLean.
It's him. He did it.
As a matter of fact, we know who to blame, and his name is
Bob McLean.
That's right. 531. That was pretty disastrous. 531 here on the Bobby Mac Show. Let's get them get back to their real jobs here. Little Annie, ready to go in the news center. I'm right back on the other side, I think, here on Monday. Can you tell it's Monday? Yeah, it's what I thought.
Well, this is just fan-freaking-tastic.
Well, that's pretty much my assessment as well. 539. It's the 5 o'clock follies, the most heavily congested and most heavily commuted hour, the Bobby Mac Show. Great to have you along. Oh, Colonel Ted is on the line. Let me go ahead and quickly get to him and find out where in the world is Colonel Ted. Colonel Ted, as always, we salute you, sir.
But thanks. I'm getting a lot of salutes getting on military bases here recently. Always enjoy that.
Nice.
Anyway, knowing you'd asked me where I was, I quickly consulted my Apple Maps, and I am, as we speak, nearing Greenville, Arkansas.
Wow. You know, it's amazing.
Now, are you aware?
It's amazing how many cities and towns, especially in the South, are named after General Greene.
Well, Oh, is that who it was?
Yeah.
I didn't.
Oh, yeah.
I thought it was just because of green grass or something.
No.
Anyway, I learned a long time ago that Greenville, there's a Greenville in every state in the Union.
That makes sense.
And there may also be a Franklin. I meant to, when I thought of that, I meant to Google to find out what other cities, if any, are in all 50 states, but I don't have an internet connection at the moment.
Yeah.
I'm out in the middle of nowhere again.
Gotcha. It would be interesting to know how many were named after General Greene and how many just because they picked the color. You know.
Well, who was General Greene, by the way?
He was a famous Revolutionary War hero, Colonel Ted. I'm surprised you don't know that. He's the man after whom this city is named.
Well, I'm surprised, too.
Yeah.
I know a fair amount about the Revolutionary War, but or at least what I learned in public schools. Let's see. Well, there's no way I can bring you up to date from when we would talk last, maybe Thursday or Friday.
Well, give me the Reader's Digest condensed version, Colonel Ted.
Oh, wow. Wow, do you want to take about a half-hour break while I do that? No. Of course, we talked about me, both privately and publicly, going through Herford, Texas. And
yes.
Then I made my way to Dallas, where I hope to find a certain person and haven't yet, but I barely got out of Dallas before that tornado hit.
I was about to ask if you were caught up in that twister.
No, it was beautiful weather when I was there, and I got caught accidentally as I was passing through Dallas at a Navy Blue Angel performance.
Oh, neat.
At an airport in Fort Worth. Traffic, I mean, I sat there for about 3 hours. The traffic wasn't moving, and I had to conserve precious gas, which incidentally, I have run out another couple of times since we last talked, I think.
Well, why do you keep running out of gas, Colonel? Is the gas gauge in the vehicle broken or what?
That's a long story. But I only discovered, and my SUV that's being repaired right now because I hit that there at the Air Force Academy, this rental car, I don't know why mine doesn't have it because it's got sophisticated dials and all that kind of stuff. This has on the gauge my average gas mileage, which this is a Dodge van. It's getting 29.1.
Wow, pretty good.
And real good. But it also right under that says DTE. Now it says 106 miles. I didn't even know what that meant until I finally figured out. That's distance to empty.
Yes.
So that if I had known that, I probably wouldn't have run out of gas a couple of those times.
That would be my guess, Colonel Ted.
Yeah, so now I've got the gas can with a gallon that I can use if I'm in an area where I can't justify spending the money. Oh, it just is 10 cents lower than the city I went through.
What's the capacity of the gas tank of this van, Colonel Ted?
Well,
I mean, it's got to be 20 gallons anyway, doesn't it?
No, it's far more than that. Well, like I said, it's kind of a long story. Anyway, it's been a learning experience for me.
Well, it has been for all of us, Colonel.
In my SUV, I experimented, and I actually ran out of gas. I found out I can go an extra 50 miles after it hits empty. So then now, I could keep from doing that. But I didn't learn fast enough what this one had. But
yeah, and the learning curve on that is fairly steep, I'm thinking, Colonel Ted.
Yeah, I know, especially at age 74.
Tell me about it. Yeah. So where are you now? Are you still in Texas?
No, I'm.
That's right. You said you're Greenville, Arkansas, right?
Yeah, on my way to New Orleans. Let's see, distance to empty 106 miles, and New Orleans is about 300 miles. So I haven't figured out yet what I'm going to do about that.
Well, at the rate you're going, though, Colonel Ted, you'll be in New Orleans in time for Mardi Gras next year.
I know. I'm supposed to be at that reunion in Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, right now.
Well, I hope it's in December.
Yeah, I know. I'm having trouble getting a reunion going on these days.
Oh, boy. Colonel Ted, your life is an adventure. Have you ever been told that?
I've discovered that, particularly on this particular trip.
I can see why. Keep the 1 gallon gas can, and you might think about investing in like a 20 gallon gas can that you can carry in the back of the van.
Well, real quickly, out in the middle of nowhere in New Mexico a few days ago, I was about empty, and a guy I never met gave me $40 for gas.
Just, wow!
He said, "Do you need money for gas?" I said, "I can't do it." So he pulls out a 20. I was like, "I can't possibly accept that." He pulls out another 20. He says, "This is my last offer."
Well, see, this is just like Washington D.C., Colonel Ted. He eventually found your price.
I mean, I can't get over that. I wish I had a way to thank you.
Nice. That was nice. It reaffirms your faith in human nature, you know?
Oh, absolutely. Yep. Absolutely.
All right. Well, we'll check in with you again soon, Colonel Ted, and God only knows where you'll be or or how many times you've run out of gas between calls. But we look forward avidly to your call. So be safe on your travels, all right?
All right.
Okay, thank you, Colonel Ted. Yeah, what can I say? It's Colonel Ted on the road. Be right back. So the adventures of Colonel Ted continue. Coming up on 6:08 here on the Bobby Mac Show, in on the text line this afternoon. Good grief, Bob! How many times does one have to run out of gas before you resort to old school mile calculation with pencil and paper? Hopefully, Colonel Ted wasn't a quartermaster in a combat theater. Bobby, was that Colonel Ted or Colonel Clink? Bobby, it's none of my business. However, I'm assuming that there is not a Mrs. Colonel Ted. Bobby, the government is full of people exactly like Colonel Ted. Bobby, I'm just glad Colonel Ted retired. Can you imagine him actually managing anything for the U.S. government? Wait a minute. Maybe I've hit on something there. Bobby, by the way, I thought you'd be interested to know there is no Greenville in Connecticut. That figures. I caught up now, I believe, with the text line. Time for a few quick pages from today's stupid school news. Public university tells professors not to grade based on merit. University of Texas in Austin. Same university that taught professors how they prop up white supremacy. Faculty workshops designed to persuade teachers not to grade based upon merit are popping up at universities from Washington, D.C. to the potato capital of the world. Idaho's Boise State hosting an event next week entitled Inclusive Teaching Means Inclusive Grading, too. Listed as part of the BUILD Certificate Program, or Boise State Uniting for Inclusion and Leadership in Diversity. What kind of leaders are we going to have if they attended classes where the professors didn't grade on merit? You know, it's one of the old axioms of convincing a misguided liberal that socialism, Marxism, progressivism is unfair, despite their claims to inclusion and diversity and all the rest. With the old saying, you know, that the student comes home from college and complains, you know, that it's not fair what's going on, and, you know, spouting the usual liberal propaganda. And dad says, well, you know, you're an A student. Here's an example of implementing the socialist philosophy. You're an A student, and there are probably some F students in your class. So how about we round your grade down to a C and round the grade up for those that got an F also to a C? That's fair, right? And the other says, no, it's not fair. I worked hard to get an A. And the other person obviously didn't put in any time or effort at all. That's why they got an F. So there you go. There is socialism in action. Meantime, Susan Crockford, zoologist, who proved empirically, I guess, that polar bears were not dying out because of climate change, has been fired by her university. Yep. See, we can't have truth. For years, of course, climate change religionists claiming the polar bear population in the Arctic dying out because of global warming. One zoologist proved the bear population was not diminishing at all, and the left's claim of bear destruction was a lie. Now her university is dumping her for daring to report the truth. After 15 years as an adjunct assistant professor at the University of Victoria, Ms. Crockford's application for renewing her contract rejected without comment by the university. Crockford has been a leading researcher in the history of dog domestication and scientific research into polar bears, and has been an in-demand speaker due to her expertise. Crockford says the university bowed to pressure from global warming religionists because she proved that polar bears are not dying out because of climate change. The school has refused to comment on why she was not renewed. Ms. Crockford accused officials at the Canadian University of bowing to outside pressure, the result of her research showing that polar bear populations are stable and even thriving and growing, not plummeting, as a result of supposed shrinking Arctic sea ice, defying the claims of the climate change movement. You know, you either get on board with these people or they purge you from the herd. And to take a break, stand by, though, not to worry. One more to go. The bonus hour still ahead here on Monday on the Bobby Mack Show on WORD.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.